This morning is on, I think, page 203, Divine Service Setting 4. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by the authority of Christ and in his stead, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What shall I render to the Lord? I will lift up the cup of salvation.
I will
precious in the sight of the Lord. O Lord, I am your servant. Glory be to the Father and to the Son as it was in the beginning, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, since we cannot stand before you relying on anything we have done, help us trust in your abiding grace and live according to your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning is taken from Isaiah, beginning at chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the epistle reading for this morning is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning at chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, I now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. Please rise.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the word of the Lord. Let's join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back again. Darn that news. It's true. There was a time I stopped watching news and my life suddenly got so much better. I didn't hear all the garbage that you hear on the news, whether true or not, fake news or true news. Whichever, it didn't matter, I didn't hear it. And suddenly I noticed, hey, the world around me ain't falling apart. How come? The people I run to are pretty darn nice. And I enjoy my friends, so why do I need the news? We all like good news. We all like good news because the world, though, I may stick my head in the sand, one might say, I guess. It's a nice place to be. But there is a lot of trouble in the world, isn't there? And that trouble is due to sin. It's not complicated, really. People try to make it complicated, but it's not. We know that sin works in our hearts to do all kinds of wrong. Not just wrong, but things that are against our Creator. Things that are against how God would have us live. Now in Isaiah we are reminded by God Himself that His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not as our thoughts. And that's a good thing. Because if they were, we would all be terribly frightened. We would perhaps be worried about our salvation. We would wonder, have I done something to cause God to be angry with me? Have I caused Him to no longer want to love me, or forgive me, or care about me, or provide those things that we need in life? Because we would not find a loving God, but a God who perhaps resembles us. But thankfully, God is not like us. God is infinite. We are finite. God has no beginning and God has no end. We had a beginning and we have an end. At least in this life. But we are children of God and that's what we have become through the Word and through baptism. We have become His children. So the end of this life isn't the end of us. The end of this life is the end of the suffering that Paul talks about to the Philippians. Now you notice that Paul doesn't try to run away from the suffering. Indeed, he kind of says, hey, look, this is a great opportunity for you, my brothers and sisters in Philippi. This is a great opportunity for the other who proclaim the gospel to be inspired, perhaps. Maybe to even be jealous in some sense. Look, Paul's gone to prison for the sake of the gospel. But it's not being in prison, it's the opportunity that is being given to God. The opportunity. It's not the problem back there. It fell off. It broke. For those out there in the listening audience.
It worked.
Well, no, that worked, but the clip-on is not working.
Just turn your phone, Michael.
All right. We'll use this pulpit mic. Can you hear me all right? Are you sure? Doesn't sound like. I can't hear myself. Oh, well, I'll just use this. Where was I? I don't know either. Huh. It was something about Philippi, wasn't it? And Paul's suffering. Yeah, that's where I was.
He was in jail.
It was the opportunity that being in jail gave him. Because he knew he would go before his judges, and be able to proclaim the gospel to those who were in authority. Good examples would be when he had an opportunity to proclaim the gospel in other times. He found himself in the company of those who were in some way influential. So did the other apostles. But Paul, being the man he was, a Roman citizen as well, even had the right to go before Caesar as an imprisoned Roman citizen to plead his case. So he saw imprisonment, an opportunity to declare the good news. Because St. Paul knew, just as we know today, that the world is in need of hope. And we have that message of hope. Now, Jesus promises hope to all those who hear and believe. It's not a hope in maybe it'll happen, but a certainty that we are given that these things will take place. A certainty that we have been forgiven. God's ways are not our ways, and His plans are not our plans. I don't know how you might have imagined it in your mind, how you perhaps would have brought about forgiveness for the world. Maybe it wouldn't have been sacrificing your only begotten Son. It might not have been that, but that was God's choosing. We might have said, well, just say I'm sorry and that's good enough, right? Well, that's kind of how it is, but something had to happen before that could work for us. To be able to go to God with our sins and stand before God and say, I am a poor, miserable sinner, and I look to you, Lord. Forgive me for all the wrong I have done, the sin against you. All right, now we're playing with the light. You're messing with my eyes. Now these are bright. That's all right. That's all right. No, stay back there. I'm just picking. Now I've got to figure out where I was again. Huh?
Let there be light.
Let there be light. Well, God's way for salvation came through a bloody cross and an empty tomb. And because of that, that great cost, that great price, we are able to come before God and we are able to... I don't know if that's any better. No. Okay. Amen. No. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that gets us to forgiveness. And God is quick to forgive, and God always wants to forgive. The people in Isaiah's day, they had been in captivity for a long time because of their sin, because they had turned away from God. And there is a promise, and they have hope for the future. They don't look at their situation as being without hope because they know that God is a God of love. And God wants to forgive His people. God has no desire to hang over our heads our past, our sinfulness. But He does want very much to forgive us and call all those who are lost to come and join his people. Not to walk any longer in the way of sin, but to repent and come to him. And because of this, we know that God is a loving God. And the God of the Old Testament is no different than the New Testament, though you may hear somebody say that from time to time. That the God of the Old Testament was all about war, and the God of the New Testament is all about peace. No, 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 no. God ain't different. He doesn't change. God has always been about peace and love and righteousness. He always wanted his people to take care of the stranger in their midst and to do what was right. And when they failed to do that, then yeah, he became a bit upset. But he didn't stop loving his people. Just as today, even though we still sin, he doesn't stop loving us. For Christ's sake, he doesn't stop loving us. He continues to seek us out when we wander. He continues to call us back into fellowship in his church when we decide we don't want to have that anymore in our lives. He doesn't stop, even in the midst of sin, to call us away from it, to call us back to him, to call us because of his love for us. This is the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. He is no different. Jesus comes to fulfill God's promises, and he is the fulfillment of all his promises. He is the last word, so we no longer need prophets. What he has been done for us one time, and all of that was necessary for our salvation took place in him. Because of this, St. Paul is able to say to live is Christ and to die is gain. And whether he lives or dies, he knows that he is Christ. He belongs to Christ. And we too can say the same thing. Because this is God's doing in his love for us and his unwillingness to let us go. What kind of God would he be if he just let us go after everything he has done to bring about salvation? He would not be much of a God, would he? But we know how he is. We know because of Jesus. Since the creation of the world to the time that Jesus came, the world could only get a glimpse of God through the word that was proclaimed. Except that time when he spoke with Moses, perhaps, and he led the people by a pillar of fire and by clouds. But when Jesus came, then the disciples saw the Father. That's what Jesus said. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father is about, you don't have to look far. Look to Jesus. If you want to know the love of the Father, look to Jesus. If you want to know anything at all about God, look to Jesus. He is God. So St. Paul says, I live in Christ, and if I die, I die in Christ. Death is gain, not loss. For our eternal life is in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love for us, an unending love, one that holds us dear to you. Keep us in our faith, O Lord, that we may run the race with confidence and hope and know that when Jesus returns, that we will stand and behold him and give him thanks. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
run it through the prayers of the church. That we may seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him in the day of salvation, and be prepared by his mercy for the day of judgment, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may delight in the life of Christ and his salvation, and that sinners may find refuge in his mercy and comfort in his forgiveness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may hear the voice of God speaking in his word and be nurtured by faithful pastors who preach and teach this gospel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That this word may be the foundation of the home, that husband and wife may be united in this faith and hope, and that their children may hear and be nurtured in this word by faithful parents, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the church may nurture the lives of our children in Sunday school and catechism classes, and that we may all be grounded in the doctrine of Scripture through the study of God's Word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the Lord may bless missionaries far and near, that he may nurture newly planted congregations, and that he may renew those congregations in distress. That those from every nation and culture may be united with us in faith and life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may enjoy the blessing of good government, fruitful leaders, peace in our land, and peace among the nations, that we may be good citizens and neighbors, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the sick may be healed, the troubled know peace, the grieving be comforted, and the dying be delivered to everlasting life in Christ. And especially for Pastor Scott, Judy Stallings, Robert Galdias, Ken Johnson, Linda and Leroy Fangmeyer, Don and Donna Holmer, Pastor Mark Stigger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Haven, Sue Daniels, Jeff McIntyre, and Pat Ryan. And that we may all be delivered from fear, anxiety, and despair by God's gracious care, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may commune in faith and that no unrepented sin may hinder our reception of Christ's body and blood, and that the fruits of this communion may be reflected in a manner of life in keeping with who we are as God's children by baptism and faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may honor the Lord with praise and thanksgiving and bring to the Lord the tithes and offerings of a grateful people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may not forget the witness of the faithful who lived and died in Christ, and that we may at last be joined with them in the marriage supper of the Lamb and his kingdom without end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear the prayers of your people, O Lord. Grant to us all things good and wholesome, to keep from us all things harmful. Give us contentment that trusting in your mercy, we may delight in your saving will. For the last are made first by your generosity and grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all of creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sins, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
thank you.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of this coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, there are a lot of what we're specifically taking up money for is to help the church in Lake Charles. The Lutheran Church in Lake Charles had two walls blown out, and you have an insert in your bulletin that talks about that. This is going to LCMS World Relief, and with all the crises that are going on, I don't know if that's the only thing they're doing, but that's kind of our emphasis to help the church in Lake Charles.
Do you want us to make the check to our church or where you want to make it?
Yes.
Make it to our church and the church will make it out. One donation from the congregation from those who donate.
I wonder if we can keep that going for
we can.
A couple, in 2 or 3 weeks maybe, just
yeah,
to give us a chance.
There's no need to just make it one Sunday.
Yeah, because nobody really knew about it.
Now, I got an opportunity to talk with the Southern District President. I still get emails for for the circuit I was in for their circuit meetings, and they had a Zoom meeting that included President Johnson, and I asked him, I kind of just pushed my way into the meeting. Well, they invited me. Some of them still think I'm in New Orleans, I guess. But anyway, he said it would be better to make the check out to Southern District and designate it, for
hurricane relief.
Because he said 100% will go. He said LCMS World Relief. He says it could be that they'll give 100% of the donations, but they have rights to take 20% of any donations for operating costs and that for them. But he said if it's made to Southern District, 100% will go to that. So that's what I think we should do is make
good.
It to Southern District, designated for that purpose, whether it be for church, Trinity.
And you'll tell Maxine that when she makes up.
Yeah. But
St. John's
for everybody here, you need to make a check out to St.
Paul.
St. Paul. Yeah. And we'll take care of that to Maxine. But he said there's, besides, and I should have included the district in prayers because, of course, what's happening in Alabama. Went pretty close to my hometown, Mobile. Right between Mobile and Pensacola. Pensacola probably looks like they got more flooding than Mobile, but I'm not sure. And stuff out of the way. They need people to take chainsaws to things and even then lay trellis.
Yeah, I read something that it's like Charles is starting over from scratch, and they don't have a lot of help.
Yeah, but they like they be appreciative of the help, and they should contact them. They the homestead is the person that you probably talk to or to call Southern District if you wanted to volunteer, and she could lead you to the person to contact them, like Charles, to help. But,
Has there been any word on the Lutheran churches from California, Oregon,
I haven't heard about anything in terms of that. I've not even checked the Synod's website to see if there's anything on this concerning that. I'll take a look though.
I want to wish a happy birthday to Aaron A.J. Cormier on September the 20th.
Dylan.
And Dylan.
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 Woohoo!
Dylan.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
All 11 years with us.
23, September the 23rd. Also, we have an anniversary for Larry and Debbie Davidson on the 22nd, and Katie and Jason Hill on the 23rd.
So, and Robbie said, although he's not a member here, his birthday's tomorrow.
Wow.
Carter.
Carter, 10 years old. Happy birthday, Carter.